Hello and welcome to Pro U Podcast, episode number 311, The Email Exchange. I think that's going to be the title. And I have a whole, you know, system, sticky notes, dry erase board, filled it out. It's going to sit down to record the episode 311, and I got an email. And it stopped me in my track, stopped my day. And I'm like, well, let me just delete it quick and move on with my episode I'm going to record. And a few moments later, I was like, I think I'm just going to read parts of it because it shows me 6 years ago. But it was not a fun feeling. So I was like, nah, you don't want to read that. You don't want to go there. And, you know, me wanting to, you know, just still be married to my ex. It was just a gnarly, gnarly moment. And I basically had this email exchange that I don't remember having, but I do remember the woman. And she always signed off Kathy from Bakersfield. And she had received my Sunday morning messages via email. And she had also seen my KBC by Tommy D kickboxing video. And after I had stopped sending out Sunday morning messages, it was a funky time and hadn't gotten to the worst yet, but she reached out at the moment when it was bad. And it's almost like just kind of like, I don't know, just recapping that moment in this email exchange that went on from March to August. And I was like, I'm not reading that whole thing. And like I said, the next thing I was like, no, here it is. You got this, just read it. So I read most of it. And I just kept thinking, number one, this is really uncomfortable. Number two, I don't like knowing that I was this version of myself. And three, I just thought someone could benefit from hearing maybe the story itself or just the fact that I was like that 6 years ago. And you know, not knowing about Zen, not knowing about the podcast, not knowing that I would ever feel what I feel right now, be the version I am right now. So it's a pretty, it was a pretty big moment where I stopped and I was like, wow, I remember that. So, you know, kind of building on that last episode of Building Purple, I made it through that. 6 years later, here I am. That was me saying that, feeling that, lost, scared, alone, no clue, no direction. And here I am sharing the email exchange 6 years later on my podcast. That's purple. Enjoy. So I'll typically take some notes on sticky notes, and I got a new, slightly larger dry erase board, so I put those sticky notes on there, and then if I'm ready to record, feel like I have enough information, I transfer the sticky notes to the dry erase board in an order. I kind of get an idea of what the episode's going to be about. Normally throughout that process, if I come up with a super dope title. And I have the dry erase board filled, labeled, sticky notes arranged, everything perfect, sat down to record. And I got an email. And it was quite shocking, I guess is kind of the word, because I don't remember it at all. And as I read through it and read through it, I started remembering the woman. And her name is Kathy. And she'd always sign off Kathy from Bakersfield. And what I realized was this was similar to a number of the experiences I've had on the podcast where a listener has become a friend or a client or a mentoree or whatever. And this is a woman that used to receive Sunday morning messages via email. No idea how she got them, never met her, didn't know her, anything at all. And so I get this email and I say, hey, just checking in, hope everything is, good, stumbled upon your emails and just wanted to reach out. And I'm like, Kathy, and I'm like, what is this? And I look, and it's an email exchange from March of 2013 to August 2013. Now that is exactly 6 years ago. And that is exactly when I moved from the city of Orange back to LA for my second divorce. So this is just like trippy on so many levels, because this was like, a low point. And I was reaching out to anybody, looking for help from anybody. And I don't want to say it was uncomfortable, but it was just like, wow, I'm not him anymore. Oh, I just know everything now. I just was like, I was so lost and in the dark and not knowing, but I had been focused, for 48 years on everything external, not working on me, the space between my ears. And I read part of it and I was like, kind of like, yuck, I really didn't like that moment, and just replied to her and I deleted the email. So I was getting ready to do the podcast, kind of just getting my desk organized and, getting stuff ready to normally do in it. The email just kind of stuck in my head, and I'm like, well, it shows a side of me, and maybe someone could benefit from that. Hearing me now, maybe for the first time, and then hearing what I sounded like at a very low point. So I'm like, okay, I'll pull out a couple paragraphs are here and there, and I started reading it, and I went, I'm going to read the whole thing. Not reading all of her replies, but the ones that I dug. And it's, I don't know, I just had that feeling, like, just read it. Just read it. So again, she had been receiving the Sunday morning emails, and I had stopped. I did it for 8 years. And then I just stopped. Hi, Tom Dieters. Just want you to know I miss your very uplifting, encouraging emails. I hope you are well and life is being good to you. Kathy from Bakersfield. Dear Kathy, I truly thank you for the kind email. I had a very trying summer. Many personal tests, but made it through them all. And then, on the day you emailed me, I found out my wife doesn't want to be married anymore. And last night, found out she started seeing someone. This must all be happening for a reason. Why, I am not sure of. I will stay close to God, trusting in His plan for me. With all the challenges, I haven't felt good enough to share or inspire. I hope you don't mind me sharing, but your timing was such that I just did. I hope you and yours are healthy and happy. If you wouldn't mind, I could use a prayer. And that's like one of the first paragraphs I read, and I immediately felt all of it. Not in a bad way. But I just remembered, and I was like, okay, don't want to revisit that. And that was kind of like the why. Just like, okay, done, respond, delete. I don't really look back. I don't do that stuff, especially it was funky. I mean, it's yellow. I made it through that. Yay, purple. Think of purple. Move forward. Don't think about yesterday, let alone 6 years ago. And this brings everything mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually back like it was yesterday. My heart hurts for you. And this is from Kathy. My heart hurts for you, my friend. I knew something was not right. Thought about you many times. And on the day I sent you the email, not sure what I was doing, but I stopped right away to let you know I missed your emails. God knew that you needed to know someone was thinking of you and to let you know you are not alone. So it was no accident that I emailed you. God does not do accidents. You uplifted and encouraged me so much. Now it is my turn. God's ways are not our ways. He knows the trials you are going through. It pains him to see his child, Tom, hurting. The one thing I know for sure is that he has your back. It may not feel like it, but he is near. That's when I started thinking, it's like, this is how people like reach out from the podcast. You know, they're listeners and they just say these amazing, great things that I need to hear at that time. And I don't remember this conversation. As I went through it, I remembered her. I remembered Kathy from Bakersfield, but I don't remember her. Like, I mean, this is like me talking to someone. And I was like, wow. Like, if this would happen during the podcast, this is someone who I would just keep talking about. Because some of the things she wrote are like amazing and very, very similar. And again, you know, something she was doing, saying, emoting was resonating with me. And I did not care who was helping me or who wanted to help me. No matter how serious the problems, God's love is greater. No matter how desperate the situation, God's love is stronger. Trust him. For nothing is stronger than the power of God's love. So you hold on, Tom. Hang on. Even if it feels like hell is on your back, you be strong, be encouraged. You are not alone. For I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Isaiah 41:13. You can unload and talk to me anytime. Kathy from Bakersfield. Like, I'm kind of in awe. I mean, I totally understand why I don't remember this. I mean, it was black and dark. I'd kind of, you know, moved out of L.A. to a small town south of here, the city of Orange, and built a garage / man room and relocated and all of a sudden everything's like, okay, dismantle the man room, find a storage, move, find an apartment, move back to L.A. alone, go. From whence we came. But the fact that I did that and got through another divorce and then since then had to do the whole family thing, I'm better. I'm stronger. And I'm looking back on, you know, this woman, no matter how serious a problem, God's love is greater. No matter how desperate the situation, God's love is stronger. I mean, I just, you know, I'm going to tell her. I'm going to email her again and go, and I read the whole email exchange on my podcast. I mean, you know, again, I did Sunday morning emails, Sunday morning messages, and then stopped. And I'm like reading back this 6 years ago who I was. And if I went, hey, in 6 years, though, you're going to have a podcast that you've had for over 4 years. I'm like, what? Like I said, that's the thing, is knowing where I am now and looking at this, reading this, knowing where I was, I would have never imagined I would be here right now. You know, over 4 years reading this email exchange on my podcast. Thank you very much, Kathy. I am reaching out to any and all right now. I believe everything you wrote. It is hard to let go and let God because I feel I need to do something. Like, I know that was me, and I talk to clients now, and I can see it in them, and that's not me now. And I'm like, ah, that's why this is like a trippy thing. Like, I don't want to read this about me. Look at me. And I'm like, well, maybe it'll help someone, because it's kind of uncomfortable to feel this again, but just know that version of me. I just feel so, like, I'm reading about me in, like, high school, and now I'm graduated. You know, it's like I've just grown so much in these 6 years. I'm so different. Thank you, Jesus. But I'm just, it's weird to read. It's really weird to read. That's why I kind of decided to. I go, you feel comfortable reading that? Yep. Okay, you're doing it. I'm like, shit. All right. Ah, because I feel I need to do something. See how it's I need to do. Get a to-do list, start checking it off, fix this thing, go. Wrong. I am tested in that I do not know if I should respect my wife's wishes and move out, which means move back to LA, or stay and stick and keep fighting for the relationship and marriage. She is not willing to work on it right now. See anyone, get help. So I know I cannot do it alone, but I feel if I move, I'm giving up. A good friend told me to watch the movie Fireproof, which actually made me feel worse because my wife and I have peace between us because I am respecting her wishes, loving her enough to let her go. And the premise of the movie is that the husband stayed and did one thing every day for 40 days while he worked on his relationship with God. They stayed married. See, that was the weird thing, too, because at that time, I mean, you can listen to the verbiage. You know, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm talking about this. I mean, I'm just, again, I didn't care. I'm getting help. Don't care what anyone calls it. Don't care the verbiage I'm using. Don't care where I'm going. If I'm getting help, I'm getting help. But there was at least two people that were like, no, just, you got to stay. And I was like, you have no clue. I mean, I knew my wife was done with it all. There was no, oh, you can, but the movie and the message and what these things, and I just, you know, like it was the way to test your faith. Like, believe in God and you'll stay married. It's like, whoa. Like, and that's where a lot of this stuff started changing for me. Like, I'll get to it. You know, I came to L.A. and, you know, I got into a church and got involved. And I went back to everything I had done before. And then I stopped it all. And I said, it's about me. I have to do this. I have to grow. I have to learn. I have to work on my faith. And that's what I started doing. Morning, Tom. And I said at the end, I said, I know we don't know each other, but, you know, appreciate the prayers. Morning, Tom, you are right. You do not know me or I you. My dad used to tell us kids, there are no strangers for those who love the Lord. Two things I do know about you. I saw through the TV screen. She actually saw my kickbox cardio video that I did on Discovery Channel for Fit TV back in the Dizzy. I saw through the TV screen a passion for helping people get fit. Your quote, any effort, big or small, is always rewarded, stays with me, especially when I do not want to work out, which is every day. I keep waiting for you to do another kickboxing DVD. 2, your desire to uplift people with your emails, etc., says you have the gift of encouragement. You have a heart full of compassion. So see, that was dope. I mean, this was a woman who just knew me from my emails and my karate kickbox video. And she saw all this. And I love that. You know, there's someone pointing out my good, my purple. Saying, I know there's yellow. There will always be yellow. But here's purple. Here's what I saw. Here's your good. Remember this. And again, This is probably one of the biggest conversations I had with someone. Deepest. March to August. I can't tell you one other person that I talked through that time at all. And again, don't even remember this exchange. But as I read it, I can feel it all. So reading those two things, it's like, again, listening or, you know, getting feedback from a listener to the podcast. They've been listening for 2 or 3 years. They know me and they write something that's just poetic and beautiful and brings me to tears. And I'm like, I just love that. And I'm like, wow, this was it. But where I was a mess, so I couldn't go, wow, at that time, this woman's amazing. Look what she's doing. But she was doing it because I had helped her. And I'm like, okay, see, way back then, there was already something happening that was way bigger than me. I just didn't know. All of this was unfamiliar to me. I have learned over the years that people do not get that the grass is greener right where you are standing. At a time in my life when I did not feel I had any grass, much less green grass, the Lord took me and my family to a place where there was no grass, a brown, dry, dusty place, El Paso, Texas. I thought God had left and forsaken me. I found no comfort in my life, my husband, or children. Menopause hit big time, hormones, an emergency hysterectomy. Both parents died within 18 months of each other. Siblings turned into aliens. The list goes on. I got to this part and I'm like, all right, I'm going to read hers. So I was just going to grab bits and pieces of me, that what I wrote, to kind of just explained, showed where I was mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And I'm like, okay, why is this woman so dope? Because look what she made it through. Moved to a place she didn't like, was unhappy with herself, her husband, her children, and menopause hit. An emergency hysterectomy. Both parents die within 18 months. Siblings turn into aliens. Everything around her was falling apart. And she got through it. Thus, she was able to help me at this moment. Every dope person I've ever met has a story of stuff that they went through and made it through. And if they haven't, I'm probably not listening to you. A pastor friend called to encourage me and pray with me after hearing me whine, moan, and groan. He said, Kathy, did it ever occur to you that Jesus placed you here to get your attention? That maybe he wants you to be still? Be still and know that I am God? For 3.5 years, I was still. I learned so much from that time with God. I had to find something that was greater about El Paso. A place whose name means the pass, meaning who would live there? You pass through. On a walk one day, talking with my Lord, I looked up and the sky was the most beautiful sky I had ever seen in my life. A blue I'd never seen before, with white clouds that were so bright you needed sunglasses. I found God again, and something beautiful about El Paso. Be still and know that I am God. I walked every day after that, even in bad weather. I'm not sure why I've shared this. Only God knows, but it was the worst time in my life, and it is no way near a hurting marriage and what you are going through. I guess I want you to know that no matter what is going on, God is there with you. You sent beautiful photos with your emails on Sundays. Amazing reminders of God, nature, his creations. He is near through those pics. He is near in the wind, the rain, spring, blossoms. You know what I mean. Take a deep breath, sit and be still. Listen, he will tell you what you need to say and do. She sat for 3.5 years. And was still and learned all of this. It's exactly what happened to me. I didn't design it. I didn't orchestrate it. But it happened. I was forced to be still. Been here for 6. I know I have rambled on too long. I just feel impressed to let you know We are not in control. God is still on the throne. He does not give us more than we can handle. So imagine this. God must think a lot of you to allow this to happen. He knows you are stronger than you think. I mean, this is quite amazing to me. I didn't read it every line before I got to the decision of reading it. So some of this is obviously affecting me. But I used to kind of say that. You know, my sister had so much going on. I mean, a home, a job, married, two kids. And I was like, why am I still here? You know, my first dog isn't here, and a girl I dated is not here. And I'm like, and at this point, when I felt that bad, I would just... This is why I didn't want to read it, people. God must think a lot of you to allow this to happen. I love that line. I love it. Because obviously he had a reason. I mean, here I am. You know what I mean? Reading this on a podcast. I cannot even explain. Those last 3 weeks of living there with my ex. Because we just walked. It was just one day it was, I love you. And the next day it was like roommates and she was seeing someone. And I had to not react. I couldn't let her know I knew. Like I said, I had to dismantle a man room. I had to find storage. I had to find an apartment. And it was the hardest time. And I know I was numb. And I know I was quite afraid. And I ain't really been afraid a whole lot in my life. But that, there was no certainty. And again, that's why I reached out to everybody and anybody. Oh. Be encouraged by email/pen pal friend, Kathy from Bakersfield. I do not see it as rambling, and thank you for taking the time. I like your dad's quote, and it was nice to hear the two things from your perspective. I thoroughly enjoyed reading it. It's like getting personal God tips throughout my day. I've been reading the 5 love languages today and ordered the love dare mentioned in the film Fireproof. I know what I want to do. It may seem on the outside it is to win my wife back, but I am quite clear it is to make me a better person. This is like authentic, dude. You know, like I remember this, like being here mentally, emotionally, spiritually. Oh. I am quite clear it is to make me better. And here I am. It happened. I am quite clear it is to make me a better person, to have better understanding of my life, my wife, my marriage, and to get closer to God. I have been here in the city of Orange for 1 year and 8 months, and with plenty of time to work on me. Not sure how still I have been, but I'm trying. I know the past week I've been crying out to God and trying my best to listen. With the information passed along to me by friends, I know I want to continue to get close to God, and maybe the miracle he works on me might work on my marriage and my wife as well. I cannot do this for results or expectations, and that is truly where I need his strength. I will try not to make any decisions until it is clear that I must. This is a scary proposition in itself. Since I told my wife I would respect her decision and move out. So I shall stay in prayer, continue to read and learn, and hopefully be still enough to have him guide each of my steps. I do pray he softens my wife's heart. If he does not, I know I will have tried. Thanks again, Kathy. Much appreciated. Like, see, that's the stuff I didn't want to read. Like, when I was still holding on and in it, like, okay, dude, she asked you to move out. She's lying to you. She's seeing someone, and you're hoping it just works out. That's the part that bothers me about me. Like, I'm not judging myself, but just like that love thing or that dependent thing, codependence or whatever it is. It gets to that point where, like, I'm looking back going, dude, what? Like, if I talk to anybody right now going, hey, my wife asked me to leave me. She's dating someone. You know, blah, 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 blah. Here's what I'm like, dude, what are you worried about? You know, what are you thinking about? Like, this is black and white. Move out. Go. She's done. You deserve better. And you find out, you know, she ended up cheating on me 3 times. That was the only one I knew at that time. Yeah, the gift that kept giving. Whew. I think you could actually lose a little bit of weight when you cry a lot. Okay. Not that I'm trying to lose weight. So she mentioned something about not moving out, and this is something I didn't need to repeat, but my comment starts with, I appreciate your concerns, but it's an apartment. She's the apartment manager. We had the chat about what I could take, and she said I could take anything I wanted, not that I wanted anything. So it truly isn't about a legal thing. I still want to be married to her. I don't want to move out because I still love her. I have been inundated with people telling me not to give up, that God will have the last word and God will work a miracle if you let him. So I'm battling between how to do that and respect her need for a break by me moving out. I went to a men's Bible study tonight for the first time. Wish I would have sooner. And they laid hands on me and prayed. I felt God's presence. So I am going to not make any quick big decisions, not be aggressive in the move out plan. And my wish is that she sees God's work in me, and he works in and through her as well. But the work I will be doing in the meantime is for me and my relationship with God. I just want to follow his guidance through all this. See, and again, when I'm like, I just wanted to feel better. I would have went anywhere, would have done anything, you know, would have listened to anybody at the time that had something to share that resonated with me. I look back now and I'm like, oh, you know, and that's, I guess, what I'm trying to share with people. I mean, I didn't know. I mean, I was going to churches and people and Bible study and, you know, I think everything helped at the end of the day. But what I really learned, it was on me. I could go to 15 therapists, 15 meetings, meet with 15 other people, and if I can't control the space between my ears, it's not worth anything. But I can't control that space between my ears in a minute, over the weekend, a couple hours a day. You know, Kathy admitted 3.5 years. I said the last, you know, 4 years, that's what I've been doing, you know. So I replied again with, wow. When they say a roller coaster, and this is kind of like, you know, when I'm talking to people and I just like, look, I don't want to talk about my yellow, but I got yellow. I've been through some stuff, no worse than anyone else. But the fact that I'm good, that's what I'm selling. Come to my well. That's what I'm buying. You know, that's when I come to my well by the water I sell. I went through some stuff and I'm here feeling better because it's about me in the space between my ears. And it's up to me to deem myself worthy. So I just wanted to share a little of some of the yuck that I went through. Wow. When they say a roller coaster, they mean it. I emailed you Thursday afternoon. It was doing pretty good. All day focusing what I shared with you. Thursday evening, her friend called me to tell me that she hung out with that guy again. I told her no, she was with her mom. She said, no, she lied to you. And that's what happened. My wife's, at the time, best friend called me and knew exactly. And I said, no, yesterday morning she was with me. And she goes, no. Like, she actually told a friend, look, I told, you know, Tom, I lied and I went and hung out with that dude. I mean, she just told her everything. And her friend just calls me and tells me everything. So that was just like not, it didn't make it, I mean, I don't know if it made it easier or harder. Because she's like, yeah, but you can't tell her. I'm her best friend. Whew. So up one moment and kicked the next. I eventually made it to a better place on Friday morning. I confronted her. She denied it. It was sad. And then just said it didn't matter. I will do my best to move forward, move out, and respect her decision. So see, that was kind of cool when I said before. I go, look, I'm just going to kind of be still. I'm going to kind of just chill and pray and try to be quiet, and I'll know what to do. Fast forward, dude, she's seeing that guy again. Poof, okay, I'm moving out. I'm not going to stay there while she's dating someone. I'm not that big, that strong, that good. And yay. So like if you're in that funk, you are kind of getting some breadcrumbs if you're trying, if you're reaching out, if you're asking for help, if you're open to suggestions, if you're not fighting it. You know, I was listening. And there it was. One email, hey, I hope it works out. Hey, I hope I stay. Poof, next email, all right, I'm going. Gone. She's seeing that dude. I will do my best to move forward, move out, and respect her decision. It's been day by day since then. Major heaviness at times. I was told to honor those moments, but not to judge them. And I still remember that line. I love it. When you're feeling something, honor those feelings, but just don't judge them. And I'm still working on that. I wrote, and I'm still working on that. And I'm doing my best to stay close and trust that God will lead me where He wants me to be again. Working on this as well. Much appreciated, Kathy. Any prayers, thoughts, kind words of encouragement are always appreciated. So now we get to the last one, which was in August. So I moved April 1st. So it was March, April, May, June, July, August. So 6 months. Hi, Kathy. Thanks for checking in. I'm doing really well. Compared to the last emails, but I mean, not like I am now. It has officially been 4 months of living on my own, and I'm very happy where I am in life. I found a great church first week, and after a while, I knew it was home. I joined a men's group, and then our church moved. Our official first services are tomorrow, but we had an open house today, and for the last 2 weeks, I've been in service at the new church, helping out with the cleanup fix, and have met some amazing people. I also serve on the youth team, 4th, 5th, and 6th graders, so I'm hooked up and in service, and that is why I have healed so fast. I believe more than ever God has a plan for me. It might be with this church or whatever it is good. Hugs, and I hope all is good in your world. So, part of that, I realized, because it was shortly after that that I started realizing that people at the church had problems. Church had problems. Lots of things going on in the church I wasn't exactly that fired up on. So it was shortly after that that I left that church. And it wasn't like this epiphany, and it wasn't a feel-good moment, but it was just like, I just knew I was, you know, it's not a critique of church or anything like that, but I knew I was going, trying to get help everywhere, whether it was through a friend or a place or whatever. It was like, I'm going there, and if they're there, they're doing this, they're whatever, then I will feel, and it was going to be time, and it was going to be me dealing with that time alone, because that's what happened. And I'm telling you now, that's exactly what I did. I, you know, thought of church as one way. You had to go to this building or it was bad. Meditation, you had to sit on the floor and do it or it was not meditation. And I just had all these things that were just planted in my brain, and it was the way it was. And it was almost after that I left that church, it was like, okay, now you're going to really start the work. Which was being alone. And dealing with everything alone. And being okay dealing with everything alone. And I just kept saying, I haven't quit. And I must be here for a reason. in the entire time, and I've said this before, never asked for anything, never prayed for anything. I just continued to be thankful. And it wasn't really after, you know, kind of leaving that church and being alone that I started kind of really grasping that gratitude thing. Like, I'm like, I don't have this and I don't have that. And as I moved forward and went on and time passed, again, I'm reading that email exchange from 6 years ago, and I know exactly how I got here. I know every move, every step, because I did it. I went through it. Grow through what you go through. Kathy's email, she said, you know, maybe God's trying to get your attention. He got my attention. All right, I'm done pursuing that. I'm done pursuing those people. I'm done pursuing that thing. I'm done pursuing that career. I'm done pursuing females. I'm done pursuing everything. The one thing I've never really pursued, because I never really thought it could change, is how I felt. And I believe changing how I felt was based on the thoughts I was having. So by not going to a place and going to people, I was alone. And that's where the building and the shaping started. But it's hard. It's hard to spend time alone. And it wasn't a weekend or a week or a month. It was a long time. But the longer I was alone, the better I got, the more I healed. And I said, okay, 52 spiritual journey. What's that? No real human things. I'm not looking for relationship, career, money, things. I'm just going to try to just pursue me. How do I find that peace between my ears? How do I walk the earth thankful every day? I kind of got to the point where I was by being thankful and mindful. And that's why I started the podcast, was because I was thankful and mindful. And I thought I had something to say. And I just feel so solid right now in some areas. And that's why I didn't want to read that. I was like, oh, God, I remember being that version. Yuck. Not knowing and being afraid and thinking that, you know, again, I had to go to that building, those people, that meeting. I had to go to all these places. And all I really had to do was accomplish being okay. Accomplish being okay, not being okay. Accomplish being comfortable, being uncomfortable. Accomplish kind of loving myself, although I'm not perfect. And being okay who is or who is not in my life. Being okay with what I can and what I cannot control. And I did quit, and I didn't give up, and I kept asking for help. And when something resonated, I went with it, and I pursued it. And maybe it was another building, but I was like, okay, now it's not that. I don't judge myself, coming back to LA and pursuing. It's what I knew. And I thought, if I am in service, I'm not going to be in my head. If I'm helping others, I'm not going to be sitting around thinking about my stuff. So it served its purpose. But it wasn't the end all. You know what I mean? It wasn't like, oh, okay, I did that. Now it's, because it was still about other people. And I just knew I had to be okay alone with my thoughts. Because that, and I always say this to clients, you got to go to your school and take that class that you don't want to. If you ever want to be a better you, no matter who I trained, was weight loss or building muscle or whatever it was, sooner or later you'd find that, yeah, I don't want to talk about that, or I don't want to, that area where they just, and I'm like, there it is, there's the class. I don't like spending time alone with what is in between my ears. I came up with the voice and the white noise. I came up with those terms because that's what was there. I don't want to sit alone and hang out with that. It bugs me. As busy as I ever was, my voice never left my head. So it's like, oh, I'm going to sit there, be still, and listen to it? So I didn't understand that at all. And thus, that's why I could never orchestrate it or design it. Okay, I'm going to start now and slow my life down and benefit. But my life was slowed down. And I did benefit. And again, I think that's kind of moral to the story with reading the email exchange. Like, there was this woman that went through some big stuff, so she had something to offer. She didn't quit. She didn't give up. She didn't do the poor me. You know, she believed in a higher power. Believed that something was bigger than her that could help her. It wasn't all on her. But she would work and try to control the things that she could control and try to let go of the things that she could not control. And she was telling me that at a time when I didn't know all that and I needed to hear a lot of it. And thank you that I applied some of it and kept moving forward. Because it's like, you know, my response is what I was seeing is like someone reaching out to me. That's not me. I'm not, I wouldn't be all confused and lost and like, and that's, I mean, again, that's not that long ago. I mean, 6 years ago, 54, that's 48 years old. But I do like how humble I was. I mean, there was humility. I was at the bottom and asking for help, and I was thankful. I like that about me. I can honestly say that. So, I have an entire dry erase board filled with today's episode that I did not even look at or get to. And I was not even going to read the entire email exchange, let alone share as much as I did. But like I said, there was this little moment when I was going to start recording. It was like, that'd probably be uncomfortable reading all that, wouldn't it? I was like, okay, then do it. And it was. It was definitely uncomfortable. But again, I'm okay being uncomfortable. But I don't want to share things like I'm whining, looking for sympathy or anything like that. But I thought, well, someone's listening now going, well, yeah, he's, you know, content and peaceful now, but he's probably, you know, really never gone. He's never really done bad. Or it was a long time ago. But I'm like, okay, let me just show you what I was like 6 years ago, because that's not that long ago. I mean, if I said, okay, start today and 6 years you're going to feel better, that might sound like a long time. But when you go at it moment by moment, day by day, and you're thankful and you're present and you're mindful, you can then look back and go, wow, I wrote that stuff 6 years ago. Now I'm on a podcast and I'm saying things with conviction, confidence. I'm comfortable with who I am as a person, what I say, what I believe, what I share. But here was me, shaken to the core 6 years ago. So to surmise, and I will end here. Number one, I did not give up. Number two, I asked for help. Number three, I listened. And number four, I deeply believed, and I don't think I was ever that conscious of it, there had to be a way for me to feel better. Thank you for listening. There's moments like this where I'm like, wow, you're going to do what? You're going to read that? You're like, that's a yucky time of your life. Like, what do you do? A lot of questions, but I just don't really listen to that voice anymore. Like I said, when I pushed delete and 5 minutes later I thought about the email, and it's like, all right, I know I'm going to read it. All right, just read it all. Go. And again, it is my hope that just something from that exchange, it's just one line from Kathy or myself that you could grab onto and hold onto and just go, you know what? I'm going to start today. I'm going to start working today. If she could do it, if he could do it, and they don't even know each other. They've never met, never spoken live. I wasn't Skype, and then there was no FaceTime. Just email. And looking back, I'm like, wow. So I'm going to sign off, and then I'm going to email Kathy from Bakersfield and go, Kathy, if you were a listener to my podcast, I would have read your email and then told you, hey, listen to the podcast because you made the podcast. And you did. You made the podcast, and I always think that's kind of the biggest compliment I can give someone. If you make me stop, think, feel, that's the biggest compliment, I think, just to make it on my podcast, because it's one of the things I love the most and care about the most. So Kathy from Bakersfield, thank you for being you, making it through your 3.5 years of stuff so you could be that version of you in 2013 and be the person you were at that time for me. So Kathy from Bakersfield, thank you, thank you, thank you. And all the listeners now, thank you so much for listening to my story and to that which I share. It means everything to me. Remember, you are worth it.
Thank you.
control you moment. Yeah. I share what I share simply because I wanted to help others. So many of the times we get into a place where we just think it's us. We're the only ones with those fears, doubts, worries, thoughts. So it's kind of my goal to just try to let people know that you're not alone. And that anybody can struggle for a very long time and be okay. Be married and divorced twice and be okay. Have less of everything that you've ever had and be okay. Not have a bunch of friends, not have a family, and be okay. Because if you're okay in between that space, between your ears, you can be okay anywhere, anytime, with anyone, doing anything. And I know I share just because I want someone to believe that today. And they start that path of self-discovery and healing, believing there's good that awaits them on that path. Peace and God bless.